The Brett Chappell Show. Sports talk with Pisgah head football coach Brett Chappell and Chad Upton, voice of the Bears. Live at Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop, Highway 276 Bethel. Brought to you by Southeastern Sports Medicine, Carolina Pawn and Gun, Haywood Insurance Services, plus Linen and Uniform Service, and Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. The Brett Chappell Show.
Live from the Jukebox Junction Cafe here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chappell Show, along with head coach Brett Chappell, Chad Upton, and Frank Bird back in our Canton studio. And good morning, Coach. Good to have you here again. This is week two. We're finished up now. You know, when you look at the schedule and you think about the things that you want to be able to accomplish and where you are, I think we're in a pretty good spot right now, and I hope you'd agree. Big win last night. Your first thoughts there?
You know, I thought we did a much better job on our offense and defense last night. You know, we struggled a little bit last week when we played North Buncombe. On the offensive side, I thought we were really sharp on the special teams and the defense, and I thought all three phases were pretty good last night. So that was good to see. I think it was us continuing to move in the right direction to get to where we need to be at, especially once we get closer to that conference schedule.
All right, so there's a lot going on, and I want to go back and let you take us through the week, you know, from the point that you left here on Saturday morning last week, and then you're moving through the week. Tell me a little bit about what that looked like and what maybe the focus was after your first game, and now you've got a little bit of data to work with and make decisions on in terms of adjustments.
You know, I tell you, the first thing that we did once we met back in the office and met, you know, after the show last week, we went back and looked at the week of practice that we had, you know, leading up to the North Buncombe game. You know, what could we do to change some things to maybe help ourselves out? And, you know, we came back and we changed our practice schedule. You know, we started doing some things a little bit different than what we've done all season so far, or preseason. And I think it really benefited us. Had a lot of smaller periods as far as time goes. You know, got our kids moving a little bit more instead of the longer periods. I felt like we kept their attention really good. And, you know, the kids did a good job with it. And like I said, I think it paid off for us last night.
So when you're talking about breaking up your practices into segments, what would you typically do maybe? And then what did that look like last week? I mean, you're talking about, you know, 30-minute segments or even shorter than that perhaps?
We had, you know, we had in the schedule, we've had 25-minute segments when you're in a lot of team stuff and, you know, some skelly periods and all of those stuff. And we went back and we just broke it down into a lot of 10-minute periods. You know, some inside runs, some outside runs, some zone run, a blitz period. We just went back and just felt like we needed to just spend some more time on the little things. And I think that really benefited us in doing that. And I think we showed that last night.
When you're talking about that then and the other things that you want to do with your kids, how much time beyond being on the field are you and your kids spending looking at film and having discussions and maybe position meetings and those kinds of things like you see in the higher levels? I'm sure those things are going on with you guys.
They are. You know, we're able to meet. We're probably meeting, I think last week we met 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Ended up meeting about probably 45 minutes each day, you know, going over film. The first day we spent on our game the week before the North Buckham game. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we moved over and started focusing on Inca. Also, you know, we're on a new system now, and most of the high schools have gone to it called Huddle. And you can actually, you know, download the games and send them to all your kids. So our kids can... It's funny, our kids will watch the game from last night if we get it downloaded, and I can actually keep up with it. And I'll see that they've been on there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, tagging highlights for themselves.
Right.
So, you know, kind of neat that we can get our kids on there. But they get on there and watch the other teams as well. You know, I have a lot of kids come in and say, you know, Coach, I saw this last night, or I saw this. And you know, and a lot of the dads like to do that.
Sure,
a lot of the dads
sure.
like to get on there with the boys and, sure. you know, watch that film and, you know, try to help them out.
When you're going through the week and you're – in those position meetings and those guys are working with their coaches, how much, I don't want to use the word freedom, but how much sort of giving do you do with your assistant coaches for them to, you know, this is the game plan, this is what I want you guys to look at this week that we saw, we've determined, it's yours now and you take it and make it happen. How much of that happens?
Total control. You know, the big thing for me coming in, I felt like I have two really good coordinators and Ricky Brindley and Ben Rodomer, and both of those guys have got some good assistants that are with them that make you know, make good decisions. I kind of oversee it, you know, look at the game plans for the week and see what how we want to attack things offensively and what we need to do on the defensive side of the ball. And then you let them run with it.
Right.
And, you know, I'll kind of sit back and tweak some things as we go through the week or something that I may see that may help them. But, you know, those guys have done a really good job, you know, getting their practice schedules ready. They have been, you know, very organized, have everything ready for us to go on Monday. And, you know, when you've got people that are bought into doing that and devoted to this, you know, it makes the life a lot easier for the head coach.
I guess last thing about, you know, the preparation period that we can mention, how much similarity is there between what things look like for your varsity kids versus what your JV kids are looking at?
I think if you come and watch both games, and our JV's won Thursday night first game, had a really good game, thought they played well. But if you come and watch the games, you're going to see a lot of similarities. You're going to see us 8-quarter, which means bring up some JV kids with us on Friday nights. Actually, we're bringing up 6 kids right now with us that can step in and play if we have to have them. But the thing with that is we're doing the same stuff with those guys through the week. So when we do bring them up, they know what's going on. You know, every once in a while you'll face a JV team that's a little bit different than the varsity team on Friday night. But for the most part, a lot of people are going to that. I think it builds better relationships with your younger kids. You know, and that's one thing that I had started a long time ago over at East, and just felt like it benefited our program there, and, you know, have brought it along here. I know it was real funny when we started, some of our varsity coaches hadn't coached JVs in a long time.
So right.
Those first couple of practices, they were coming back hanging their heads like, man, it's been a long time
right.
since I've done
a lot more teaching the fundamentals right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're certainly blessed to have 2 really good feeder programs, from Bethel and Canton. And those coaches do a good job. And, you know, we don't have to worry about too much of the fundamental stuff. It's just more or less getting into schemes and things of that nature. But, you know, I think those things are going to benefit us as we go throughout the season, too, because we're going to have some injuries. I mean, that's part of
sure.
the game. You're going to have some as you go along. And, you know, at some point, some of these kids are probably going to have to get in and play for us.
How much conversation did you have over the summer, maybe continuing into this fall, with those feeder programs at the 2 middle schools and, of course, in the youth leagues?
You know, try to keep up those relationships. Obviously, you're always trying to keep an eye on what's coming and things of that nature. But want to offer your help to those guys, you know, and want them to be a part of it as well. You know, offer to both programs. You know, guys, be with us on the sidelines. Be with us up the press box. You know, want them to feel as much a part of it as we can as well. I think that's very important. You know, it wasn't a whole lot about, you know, me coming down and say, listen, guys, I want you to run this offense.
Right.
This is what we're, that wasn't it. You know,
yeah.
Both of those programs have been successful. You know, the biggest thing for me was, what else can I do to help you? You know, you guys are doing a great job. Continue to do that.
Yeah.
If I can be of any help or get you anything, you know, let me know. We were able to pass down some lifting equipment to help them
right.
run the weight rooms. You know, anything like that. Like I said, those guys are doing a great job down there. And, you know, just it makes our job easier when we've got good coaches as they come through before they get to us.
Back with more in a moment. It's Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Carolina! Chip. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun. They got guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. Now if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt. Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun. They gonna hook you up. Get on over there, son. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Fluff's Linen and Uniform Service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Back live this morning for the Brett Chappell Show here at the Jukebox Junction Soda Shop and Restaurant. We were talking just a minute ago in the break, and I think a good place for us to go right now. And we'll get into some specifics about the game as we go through the show, of course, this morning. But one of the things that, you know, we noted and we talked about and we knew was going to be an advantage for us going into the season because we, you know, those of us, you know, kind of following things and seeing how things are, I remember my dad was principal at Pisgah for a long, long time, and I remember how much he used to come home and talk about the things that Carol Wright was bringing to the program in terms of, lifting weights, getting kids stronger, and then being in physical shape in terms of running up and down the football field. I remember watching the game Thursday night between South Carolina and North Carolina, and that great defensive end that they have in Clowney. You know, one of the knocks on him is him being in shape a little bit, and that kind of bit him, it seemed like, a little bit in that game Thursday night. We watched the game last night, and I got to tell you, I think everybody that was sort of paying attention to that felt like that our kids were in better shape all the way around, and that goes a lot into I'm sure your philosophy is about conditioning and how you want your kids to be prepared to play four quarters, particularly this time of year when it's tougher to do that probably because of the heat.
Well, absolutely. And it's early in the season, and those are things, you know, you run into cramps and things of that nature, and we haven't seen that yet. You know, our kids have done a really good job with it. Obviously, you expect your skill kids to be able to go both ways and, you know, not get as worn down. But I tell you what, our line has done a really good job, because when you got those guys going both ways, that's tends to be where you start losing them a little bit. And I think, you know, Jody Mathis has done a really good job on the defensive line with the rotation. Obviously, you don't rotate them as much on the offensive line, so they're pretty much intact there. But it's just it's something that we knew we were going to have to do because we just weren't really deep, you know, and the kids understand that, and they go into practice every day, and, you know, we got conditioning set up to where we're building up to that Friday. You know, you usually start harder on your Mondays, and you continue your work till they get to that Friday night game, and like I said, I think the kids have a good understanding. You know, you're able to talk to them, and they know why we're doing it.
Those fourth quarters, though, in terms of being in shape, that starts in January, doesn't it?
It does. You know, and I think that that all goes back to the time that you get to spend with them in the spring. And, you know, I've talked about that before,
right,
how valuable that time is. And, you know, and we even talked when the season started, guys, you know, we started all the way back in January. You realize how long ago that was. And, but it's a good place to know where we've come from and where we're going. So, you know, we'll continue to go down that road.
One of the things you pick up on if you watch a lot of games in the NFL, particularly if you're in the stadium and you're seeing what's going on, you know, they rotate a lot of guys in and out because they can do that. Those guys are ready to go. If we're moving to a what would be typically running down to a passing down, those guys are making those changes. They don't even have to look and ask the coach and staff. They're already running out, and they're getting out there on the field on those third and sevens and thirds and eights. And that's something I watched and saw last night right there, too. You guys were doing a good job, particularly in the interior, kind of bottling things up in terms of the running game, forcing third and eight, third and twelves, and you guys are making those wholesale changes to get some more defensive help in terms of the passing game out there. Those guys really kind of made a big difference in my mind in rotating those fresh bodies in for that package for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you know, Coach Brennan's done a really good job putting together some packages for us, and I know you see a lot of kids going in and out on that defensive side. And like I said, it was something that he and I had sat down in the spring and we're talking about, you know, what can we do to help ourselves out a little bit. And, you know, right now we're being successful with it. You know, hey, we gave up, you know, that touchdown last night.
Right.
That was something we probably one of the more disappointing things.
Sure.
Because it had become a pride thing for us. But, you know, giving up 7 points in two games ain't bad.
No,
right?
We'll take that.
So we'll take that just like you said.
Talking a little bit about defense a little bit more. Going through the game last night, I thought between the ends, particularly in the middle of the field, there just wasn't a lot of room for those guys to do a lot. I think that they had a kid that could be explosive in terms of running the football with the Holloway kid. I think last week, if I'm not mistaken, he had over 200 yards running the football. Last night, he had a lot of carries. I mean, this is NFL-type carries. He had 23 carries, but only 78 yards. It's about 3 yards a carry. And he didn't have a whole lot, particularly right there in the middle of the field between those two defensive ends. And I thought we strung him out a good bit, too. What was your game plan in making sure that we keep him back in the backfield as opposed to getting into the second and the third level last night?
You know, the big thing for us was trying to contain the line of scrimmage, you know, not letting him get into our secondary, trying to make him go side to side a little bit. You know, with being said like that, he's a good back.
Right.
You know, probably his longest runs were some of his cutbacks.
Right.
You know, coming back away from where the play was intended to go. But, you know, that's the second really good back that we faced. And, you know, felt like we did a really good job against Jagger Gardner at Owen. And I felt like we did a really good job last night against Tommy Holloway. So, you know, I'm really pleased with the defense. They're aggressive. They fly around. Unfortunately, that seems to be the side we're getting more of the penalties from,
uh-huh,
too. But, you know, as a coach, you love to see your kids being physical and having that mentality. But at some point, we're going to have to dial it in just a little bit to shore up some things, because we can't start giving up first downs on stupid penalties. And things we got to fix.
Right. I think there's discipline that plays into everything in football. And you talk about the penalties. One of the things in terms of discipline to me was that, again, it looks like on defense, particularly, guys are where they're supposed to be, where you need them to be to contain their area of the field.
I think, and that all goes back to the preparation during the week, you know, getting those kids prepared for what we've seen on film, getting those kids in the right places early on in the week and making them understand, you know, this is where we're going to have to be at to make plays on this young man. And as we go towards the Irwin game next week, you know, they've got about three or four Tommies, you know, that we faced last night. So a lot of good skilled people. We will have to be really sound on defense to give ourselves a chance to win that ballgame.
Once again, you know, one of the things we've talked about last couple of years is a need for improvement in the secondary. Talk about how your secondary has improved defensively this year so far.
I think they've done a good job. You know, on the touchdown last night, we had one of our corners kind of stumble a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Almost got back to the play.
He did.
I think he actually even tipped the ball.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you know, we gave up that score. But, you know, they've done a really good job. You know, you look at the safeties. It's funny, you know, some of the comments that I've heard. I had a lot of guys from East last night that actually came over and watched the game, a lot of the parents and some of my old former players that had graduated. And, you know, some of the things that they were talking about was how good of open field tacklers we were.
Yes.
You know, especially our little kids. And, I mean, you look at Jeff Henson, and you look at Vadre, and you look at Trevor, and, you know, Lucas Hall, and then you got your linebackers that's able to take control of the inside, you know, in between the tackles with those linemen. So, you know, we got some kids, like you said earlier, that are in the right place, but they're making good open field plays. You know, they're making sound plays. They're not letting the big gains happen. And, again, we'll have to have a good game plan and do a lot of that same stuff this coming week.
We've already talked about your guys up front in terms of bottling up the run. Late in the game where we forced them into passing situations, there wasn't a lot of time for them to do anything. I saw a lot of pressure coming from both sides and through the middle. You got a lot of sacks right there at the end of the game. Probably more sacks last night than I've seen in a couple of years.
Well, it was good little packages that you know, Coach Brindley's put together, and it was some things that, you know, obviously Inca losing their quarterback that early in the game hurts. You know,
right.
That unfortunately that's part of it. But then I thought they did a really good job regrouping, and I know Jeff was really proud of the way his kids fought after they faced that adversity. I mean, that would be like us losing McKinley, and you know, I thought his kids continued to fight, and he was proud of their kids for doing that. And you know, I think the big thing for us was, you know, we stayed consistent. I thought we got better in the second half. We cut down on the penalties in the second half. I think we only had three there. So, you know, we did the right things, and we're moving in the right direction. We just got to do it for four quarters.
Back with more in a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTO.
Healthcare reform is coming, and with it, uncertainty, because it will be different for everyone. But don't worry. Together, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina and Floyd and Susan Rogers can show you how the new rules and regulations of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, will affect you. With the exclusive online Blue Map tool, Floyd and Susan Rogers can provide answers you need to move forward in 2014. Call Haywood Insurance Services or stop in at 977 North Main in Waynesville.
Athletics were a big part of my life. About any sport, you name it, I played it. Too many years of wear and tear eventually caught up to me. I knew I had to see somebody to take care of the problem. Southeastern Sports Medicine was a no-brainer for me.
Southeastern Sports Medicine, providing full-service orthopedic care at five convenient locations and weekday walk-in injury clinics. Visit sesportsmed.com or click the banner to learn more.
Every day, more folks discover the savings and convenient one-stop shopping at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. Now you can add savings with coupons on your Ingles and Food Lion cash register tapes. There's also a door-busting September sale flyer coming your way. Watch for it or stop by Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. 10,000 square feet of home and hardware, and they're open 7 days a week.
Back live this morning with the Brett Chappell Show. We've talked a lot about defense and how much we've improved right there. Again, we talked about only giving up 7 points in eight quarters, and that's a great way to start. Offensively, we did a lot of good things last night, too, and I know you guys spent a lot of time you know, working on some stuff and getting a package in place that you felt like was going to be successful. We'll start at the top with the quarterback play. I think you guys are doing a really good job in getting him, in terms of those throwing downs, getting him in space and giving him an opportunity to make plays. For 2 weeks in a row, McKinley has made plays with his feet and with his sense of where people should be on the field. It's a couple throws that I can think of that most other guys would have taken a sack on. He's completing some passes with, but he really feels like that he's very much commanding what we're doing right now offensively.
You know, he's getting comfortable in the pocket. If you watch his feet, anytime we're dropping back, especially if we're staying in between the tackles and not rolling him, you know, he's doing a good job slide stepping and moving up in the pockets. And you know, I think he had a great game last night. I think he's come a long ways, especially from last week to this week. I thought he did just a great job taking control of the game. He was a good manager, got us in the right positions, made some good throws. I think he had 166 yards passing last night, with a touchdown, no interceptions.
9 of 13.
Yeah, so we really stressed that last week in the conversations I had with him. You know, even on the game day Friday, and I think he was a little bit nervous as we were going into the North Buncombe first game and, you know, that kind of deal. But we talked about just letting the game come to him, and I thought he did a really good job of that last night.
You feel real comfortable moving him out of the pocket on bootlegs and those kinds of things because you know that he's going to do the fundamental things he needs to do to still get a good throw.
Yes, and he's going to try to keep the play alive as long as he can. You know, I can remember one instance last night where Jesse Anderson got to wiggling around and finally got open late right before McKinley was fixing to take a sack. And, you know, McKinley got it to him, got us a big first down. So the receivers are doing a good job as well getting open in that, you know, space, continuing to work routes when he's scrambling out.
Right.
And, you know, for the most part, we've had really good protection. And they stunned me. You know, I don't know how much you watched the linebackers last night, but they had somebody coming about every play. And I thought our linemen and our backs did a good job picking them up when we had the throw.
When you talk about the other parts of the game last night, you mentioned, you know, a little earlier that they showed you a little bit of a look that you weren't quite prepared for necessarily, and took a couple series right there for us to get on track a little bit. It seemed to me, it felt like to me that once we kind of loosened them up a little bit, making some throws downfield, that both aspects of your game in terms of offense came, you know, sort of in line, and things started really moving for us.
You know, to their credit, they brought a defense in that we hadn't seen in the two games that we had watched, you know, scouting these guys. We hadn't actually seen that defense since we played Bunker Hill or scrimmaged those guys earlier in the year. So it took us two series, you know, to get adjusted with it. You know, they were loading up in the box, and that's, you know, again, that kind of falls back on Inca. I think they did a good job in their preparation, doing what they thought would help them be successful. And it certainly frustrated us for those first two series. But once we got it figured out, you know, I thought we regrouped a little bit and did a good job getting down the field. I thought Dustin Messer had a great game for us last night. And I thought the line, once we got it figured out, it's fun when the line's looking to the sidelines wanting you to run the football, you know, wanting that mentality. And, you know, that was neat last night. We were talking a little earlier. We had, you know, Dustin, I think on one of the last touchdowns he had, I think we ended up running the same play about four or five times in a row. And, you know, the lineman's calling for it and Dustin's calling for it. Give it to me. And, you know, Dylan Hannah did a great job blocking at fullback, picking up linebackers. And that's fun coaching when those kids are excited about it and wanting to be aggressive. And, you know, we call it grinding it out. And that's what they wanted to do last night.
I think the thing that I remember mostly from last night, going into the second half, you got a turnover from the get-go, worked on a short field, and it felt like that we could do whatever we wanted to do on that little drive right there. And to me, that was the deal-breaker for Inc. And what we were able to do and sort of force it on them a little bit right there.
I think so, too. You know, and we took advantage of the turnover. You know, that's the
right
thing. Anytime you get a turnover like that, you want to take advantage of it. You know, a lot of coaches will try to have a big play right after a turnover and go up top. And even we were looking at it, and we came out of that halftime wanting to, you know, wanting to go ahead and just take care of that line of scrimmage and control it, and just decided, listen, we're going to ground it out a little bit and see if we can drive down and get a score. And, you know, like I said, those linemen did a great job for us, and the backs did as well running.
Back with more in a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Plus, linen and uniform service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look, call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Every day, more folks discover the savings and convenient one-stop shopping at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. Now you can add savings with coupons on your Ingles and Food Lion cash register tapes. There's also a door busting September sale flyer coming your way. Watch for it or stop by Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. 10,000 square feet of home and hardware, and they're open 7 days a week.
Sell it, trade it, pawn it, anything under the sun. Guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. We got just about everything in Carolina Pawn and Gun. Now, if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks in Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Get on over there, son.
Proud sponsors of the Pisgah Bears.
Back live this morning with the Brett Chappell Show. Still a lot of things that we want to get to in the next couple minutes here. But again, real quick for me, I'll say this. Still really excited and really impressed the fact that you've got a master who had a great ball game last night. You've got a whole stable, in my mind, of guys that can run the football effectively. And I know that's got to make you feel good because at some point something may not work. You may need to go another direction with the way you run the football. And then the other thing we were talking about a little bit too, special teams got to feel great about our kicking game right now and being able to execute a game plan, which is exactly what they did last night.
They did. And, you know, coming back to your running backs, I think you look at our tailbacks and you look at Dustin Messer, who's a great back that is a downhill runner. And
yep.
You look at Jesse Martinez. Jesse had a good touchdown last night before he broke it back. He's more of the slasher type runner. And then you throw Vadre in there and, you know, he's the little scat back. You know, he's
right.
Going to get in there and hide and then he's just going to bust out. So, you know, certainly blessed to have three different personalities back there that can give us something a little bit different. And you also mentioned special teams. I think that, you know, our kickers did a really good job last night, Nathan Higdon and Jesse Anderson. You know, we had schemed all week to not kick it to Holloway. We wanted to try to kick it away from him. We didn't want to give him the opportunity for a big gain, you know, out in open field. And again, you look at the gang tackling. You look at the kickoffs and we're sitting there with six, seven guys on the tackle and the same thing on the punt and getting down through there. And I thought those guys did a really good job. We got to get a little bit better on our punt return. You know, obviously we got spoiled the first week and had two returns for touchdowns. I know we got one call back against North Buncombe, but, you know, we got to get a little bit better, on that. I thought we kind of took a break, a little bit, and that might have been catching our breath as we go, you know, trying to get ready for the next series. But, you know, for the most part, pretty pleased with where we're at right now.
Going back with players and the player's name that keeps coming back to my mind is Vadre Crouch and what he's doing. Go back to the defensive side and making hits. He made as good a hit as I've seen in high school football on that far sideline. Unfortunately, there was a flag thrown, and I don't understand why that happened. I don't know if anybody else did or not, but boy, he's a real spark out there as a sort of a physical entity that's not afraid to go in there and do the dirty work too.
Well, you know, it brings some energy, you know, and that was, you know, as coaches, we always go back and watch the film, and we did last night, and you know, some of those penalties that we got were certainly, you know, we got them. I mean, they were there. The one particular talking about Vadre, we went back and looked at it, and the referees called a helmet-to-helmet contact. And we actually went back and watched it, and the first place that Vadre's helmet hit was a shoulder pad.
Uh-huh.
You know, got him up under the chest plate. The official was shielded from it. All he could see was the player and the head snap back. And so, I know why he called it, but that was one that, you know, shouldn't have gone against Vadre. Certainly there was some in there that should have, but that was one that shouldn't have.
Are the officials a little jumpy because of all the talk at the NFL and college level about these hits right now?
You know, here's one thing, and this name won't ring a bell to many people around here. Kerryon Moore, good tailback from down at Hunter Huss, and we played those guys last year at East in the playoffs. Kid signed with Duke, great tailback that they've got. Got ejected last week. Running the ball, going into the end zone, and ran over a safety that had come up. and they deemed that he was targeting that safety as he went into the end zone.
As an offensive runner.
As an offensive runner, and ejected him and gave him a one-game suspension. And the state upheld it. You know, the coaches appealed it, and the state upheld it. So they are really taking a strong look at that. You know, we had one later in the game that I thought was targeting a little bit, and, you know, we got called on and should have. But the one on Vaudre on that instance, you know, that was a good clean hit. You know, unfortunately, we took the 15-yard penalty on it.
Going into next week, just about 30 seconds to go here. Going into next week, got a big, big football game next week on the road. I know that it's something you probably have had circled. What are your thoughts going into next Friday?
You know, we're going to have to do a lot of the same things. A lot of the same things that you saw last night. We've got to be able to not let Irwin load up the box on defense. Yeah. We've got to be able to throw it a little bit. Got to maintain the clock, long drives. And the defense is going to have to do a great job open field tackling, because that's the one thing Irwin will do. They're going to get it to their kids quick, out in open field, and let them make moves. You know, they got good athletes there, and Mike's done a good job. We'll have our hands full, but hey, man, I'm excited about it. Our kids are playing hard right now, and you never know what's going to happen on a Friday night.
Absolutely. You got to feel good about our start. Again, bottom line, we're at 2-0. A couple things I want to mention real quick, just, you know, from the stats perspective, from last night, Inca held to about 215 yards of offense total, 41 of those rushing, and that was their, you know, bread and butter thing that they wanted to do. Went out there and had 360 yards of offense, had a lot of balance really on both sides of the football. Number two had 94 yards carrying it. And, again, we mentioned McKinley Brown, with, a 9 of 13, not for about 165, threw for a touchdown as well. And so all those things come together, and Iwaki had a great catch down there on the near sideline to get things started. So
you got to work on his touchdown celebration, though, man alive.
I was screaming my head off so at that point. I didn't see it. So yeah, we'll see what we can look at as far as that goes too. But we'll get ready for next week. Of course, we'll have the game broadcast for you next week from Irwin. 6:30 is our airtime with the Black Bear Cafe preview show. 7:30 kickoff with Chuck Fiebernitz and I. And then we'll be right back here again as always next Saturday morning at 8:00 for Brett Chappell. Frank Birdner Studio. This is Chad Upton. Flea Market's next. So long, everybody.